and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, beloved, we're going to celebrate a Vesperal Liturgy for the feast day on Tuesday. It's one of my favorite feast days of all time. I like it because it falls in the summer, and it's got this wonderful icon. See, this is the Transfiguration of Jesus. We celebrate this as a major feast day in the church. It's recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's kind of an interesting passage. Jesus takes three of his disciples up into a mountain. You know, he takes Peter, James, and John, and then something happens that's never happened before. Jesus is transfigured before their eyes. He's turned into pure light, and the Gospels tell us his garments became whiter than no detergent on earth could make them white. Kind of an unearthly, heavenly white. Jesus appeared before. And they were knocked out. They kind of fell into a trance. And when they woke up, they heard the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my Son. In him I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to Jesus." And then up on the mountain, if you see in the icon, Jesus is figured, he's pictured transfigured. And then on both sides of him, you've got on one side Moses and on the other side Elijah. And we are taught that they represent Moses on the one hand, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. So in scriptural language, that means the entirety of Old Testament scripture. Jesus is at the center. He's got Moses and he's got Elijah. What do you think they're talking about? Something as wonderful as that. And they are talking. They're having a dialogue. The gospel tells us they were discussing the Exodus, which Jesus would accomplish in Jerusalem. They were talking about his upcoming death. So I bring that up today because that is so central to our faith. Jesus' death, and then by extension, our death. We had a baptism in our church yesterday, and baptisms are so beautiful. We ever listen to those prayers very carefully? Sometimes we do, maybe sometimes we don't. But it's kind of shocking to hear, especially when it's a cute little baby and so precious and new life. And we're praying that this person would become a partaker of Jesus' death. See, doesn't that kind of sound shocking when you hear it? You pray for your little beautiful baby to be a partaker of death, of the Lord's death, right? But it doesn't end there. By partaking of Jesus' death, we also partake of his life. And we know that that's the only way. That's why it's not enough just to believe. You know, say I believe or think in your heart I believe. We baptize as a sign of that. And our baptisms are, they represent our participation, just as the prayer says, in Jesus Christ's death. Because we believe that death, that exodus, which Jesus was discussing on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, is the only way that we can have life and have real life. Have it more abundantly, as the Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospels. That's the only way. So today is kind of special in our church. We're preparing for Transfiguration. We hear, I just explained a little bit about the feast day icon and what's going on there. We're also remembering godparents and godchildren today. That's just in our parish today. We chose to do it on this day, and we welcome all of you who are here. If you're somebody's godparent, most of you are probably godchildren, I would imagine, unless you haven't been baptized, but I think most of us are. So we're here, and we're here for you, and we want to remember what it means to be a godchild or even a godparent. Let's talk about just to be a Christian without being a godparent. You know, if we were baptized, our baptism means death in the world. That's the bad news of the good news, as someone said. You know, the bad news is that we die to the world. And think about this. I mean, that's real. in all of the Gospels, and the one we just heard today, the one we just heard where Jesus heals a paralytic, all the sickness and all the disease and all the terrible things that happen in the world, Jesus came to fix that. And the way it happens in the Gospel stories is usually in a healing, right? But he didn't come just to make people feel better. He didn't come just to fix a broken arm or to give sight to the blind, you know, or to raise up somebody who couldn't walk. That's not why he came, so that they can have a better life on earth. Those healings are all just outward signs of the real meat, the real thing. And today in the Gospel, we see what that is. See, all those healings, giving sight to the blind, curing a leper, making a flow of blood to cease, all these things Jesus does. And this was foretold in the Old Testament. The Messiah, when he comes, would do this. But our faith teaches that all that was just a foreshadowing of the real deal, the real thing that Jesus does. And it's that exodus that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. That's his death. That's the real thing that saves. And Jesus came to save us, right? He came to give us the real life, that we would have it and have it more abundantly. So in the Gospel today, we see that really played out and made explicit, because when Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven," see, that's what Jesus is really doing in all these healings. He's healing spiritually. He's giving them the gift of salvation. He's saving them. Then everybody's up in arms. This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God? And it causes a ruckus. So Jesus says, "Why do you question in your hearts?" And he asks, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise and walk?" See, it doesn't make a difference to him. Neither one is easier in the eyes of God. It's all the same thing. So because of their hard-heartedness, because they were up in arms to show that Jesus has God's power to heal, to show what he really came to do for their benefit, he says, "Okay, rise, take up your pallet and walk." Almost like an afterthought, which is kind of interesting, because it shows us what the real deal is in these Gospel stories. Remember, we are born into the world, and we have parents, and thank God we have parents to bring us into this world. But our faith teaches us that we need to make a transition from this world into the next. And our baptism is the way to do it. Our baptism is where we die to the world. We die to the world by being united to Christ. We put on Jesus Christ and we put off the ways of the old man, as another prayer says, with all of its passions and sinfulness and lusts. We put that away and we are born anew in the kingdom of God. That's how we profess our belief in the Christian faith, beloved. Just like we have parents in the world who father us and mother us and nurture us and raise us up and give us life and provide for us, the church recognizes the importance, though, of this real death. Real death to the world and birth into God's kingdom, into the life of Christ in the church. So we appoint guardians for that. And those of you who are godparents, that's the role you've been given. You're just like a mom or a dad to that child. And whether your child is a baby or a toddler or a teenager or an adult, you have the role of parenting for them. So it's an important role, obviously. Sometimes we tend to think about baptism as being about the one day, and we might stress about it, make sure everything goes okay. But in our faith, it's only the beginning. It's the start of a whole life, and it's the first step. So those of you who are new godparents, you know, you couldn't have done much wrong yet because you have time with your godchild, you know. You want to think about building them up. making sure they are provided for spiritually, just like a mom or dad makes sure we're provided for materially, right? Housing, clothing, food, education. The godparent provides spiritually. The best way we can do that is prayer. You know, beyond the day you were there, and it's very important what you did on that day. You stood up and you spoke on behalf of a person who couldn't speak, who could not accept, who could not say, yes, I will die with Christ. So you said that on their behalf, giving them the greatest life of all, giving them life in the kingdom. So that's very important. Now we want to perpetuate that. We want to build on that. And we want to nurture and provide for our godchildren. Pray for them. I'm sure we all hopefully are finding time to pray in our daily life. When we do pray, when we talk to God, I heard an expression once, you know, we talk to our children about God more than we talk to God about our children. And sometimes it's more helpful to do the latter, you know. Talk to God about your children. Give your children to God. Lift them up to God in prayer. That doesn't mean don't talk to your children about God. Of course we want to. But it's just as important to talk to God about your children. So lift them up in prayer. Remember them. Remember the high calling that you're given. And all of us are given a high calling just by virtue of our baptisms. We're called to be faithful stewards of our life, faithful servants, slaves of Jesus Christ, and faithful to His commandments to love. So pray for your godchildren. And if you can, bring them to church. I know circumstances today and at all times make it difficult for people sometimes to have an active church life. Maybe moms and dads can't get there. Maybe families have other obligations. Maybe things take them away. But you always want to remember it's important for your godchild to be in church, to grow up in the sacramental life, to be continuously united to that body that they were joined to on the day that they were baptized, on the day that they were united to Christ. Keep them united to Christ, and if at all possible, facilitate their getting to church. And finally, be a good role model. Be a good example for your godchildren. You know, don't do anything in your life that would make you ashamed to be a witness for that young person. It's like that person's soul is in your care. And now you have to handle it gently and piously and with love. So I commend you all who are godparents today for rising up to the challenge of that task, for being here today to celebrate the wonderful recognition of godparents. I'm looking in this direction because it seems like I think this is where we're concentrated, right? Sometimes we're heavy on this side. Today it looks like we're heavy on this side. And we're blessed to have you all here. And to all of us, all the faithful, we're baptized. We are also, don't forget, slaves of Christ. We are servants of the one true God. Remember our baptism, right? And remember to constantly strive to live up to that. In the Feast of the Transfiguration, something kind of curious happens other than this whole episode. But after the vision, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, don't tell anybody about the vision for now. So they're not allowed to talk about it. They wondered, what happened? It was so different. Why did this happen? Don't tell anybody about the vision until the Son of Man is crucified and raised up from the dead. So there's a reason for that. The disciples had to know who Jesus really is. He is God from God. They saw him in his pure divinity, and they caught a little glimpse of that. As the Kentakion for the feast says, that happened so that when they would see him crucified, they would know that his suffering was voluntary. That Jesus did this of his own will. That it was the will of God from the very beginning. See, that's why Moses and Elijah get in the picture. That's why they have a conversation with Jesus. God knew this would happen. So it's important that Peter, James, and John know that this is not Jesus' defeat. That his crucifixion is done out of love. They had to know that so they can go out into the world and teach that. So they could bring that message out. So that the whole world could believe and be baptized as we are baptized, be united to Christ into that life where it is real life and it is abundant and it is never ending. So remember your baptism today, beloved, all of you. And remember that our Lord came into the world and died for us of His own free will. He did it out of love and obedience to the will of God. And God sent Him into the world because He loves us so much. So build upon that. Pray upon that. Let your church life be centered on that. So that you can go out into the world. Come down from the metaphorical mountain, Mount Tabor, and show the world the face of Jesus Christ in the love you have for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.